Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Tom Ferry. Tom, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Let's go. Tom is the co-founder and CEO of Stakester. They're the number one platform that lets competitive gamers bet on themselves. He raised almost $3 million in 2019, and he is the host of the Back Yourself Show. Tom, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk about it. But I think for those people, by the way, if anyone who's just listening to this and not watching it, that people need to know that you have an absolutely sensational beard. Okay. I don't know if people know this about you. Okay. Any of your listeners, but if they're just listening, your beard is, it's real. Okay.
Well,
it's
thanks.
Really high. Tier one. So people need to know that about you. Okay. Right. So yeah. So, me. So yeah, I won't pretend to be anything other than what I am. I'm a classic, British privileged upbringing type style boy I'm not gonna pretend that I was from a tough background, and that sometimes people think, oh my god, he just fell into whatever was happening to him, but that's true, and so it's not. So I was very lucky and was dealt, so I guess, the genetic lottery there. But when I followed a path that most people do when they're from that, like, you know, you go to a good university, you go and get a job in a bank, and you follow that path of being very much like, yeah, this is what everyone else is doing. Yeah, I should do that. You know, I'm getting good grades at school. Everyone else is getting good grades at school. I should go to a good uni. Yeah, I got good grades at university, did a good degree. Now I should go and get myself a job at a good bank or whatever. And I did that forever. Okay. And, 15 years. And then I realized I was fucking miserable. Yeah, like it's just rubbish. Like I was getting no sense of reward from it. And then yes, I had from my mum's perspective, my mum loved saying, "Oh yeah, my son, he's an investment banker, or he works in private equity, or whatever." They love that, you know. And like, it's very easy for whatever girl you're dating to understand like your job really simply. It's a bit like, yeah, this is what they do. And it's very easy for you to go to a dinner party and explain what you do, and it's. But it sucks. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, I felt no reward. I felt no sense of fulfillment. And I felt that my character was being quashed. Okay. Now I am by nature incredibly offensive. my spare time, I like to do stand-up comedy, and I like to perform, and I like combat sports. I like competition. And I lived in a world where that wasn't really what happened. You know, and actually, I've never really spoken about this before. It's with you the straight away. Like, I didn't drink until I was about 35. Didn't drink at all. And it held me back in my career a lot of time because that's what people did. Like, you go and take your boss out for a few drinks or whatever. And that wasn't really my vibe. You know, I like keeping in shape. I like, you know, that. And it's very different. And so I had an epiphany and it really happened with a car, which is bizarre. Okay. I bought a Range Rover or a tree destroyer, whatever you want to call it. I remember being like, this is so freaking cool. And like, I was going out and I was hanging out, and all my friends, they come in my car. They love my car. And like a year passes and a new version of that Range Rover comes out. And I was like, fuck, I've got to get a new one. Got to get it. Every time I saw that new car come past, I was like, yeah, I've got to get that new one. Because it hit me that I had the older version. And then and then something clicked in my head. And I live in a place called Hampstead in London, which is like, I like to think of it as like the Beverly Hills of London. You know, it's like quite a fancy area. Yeah, a lot of celebrities and stuff around there. And I realized that I was being trapped by my possessions. Like that age-old saying of the things you own end up owning you. And they did own me because I had to have a new car because I was losing self-confidence. I was losing, as you talk about here, strength and power. I was losing. It was all going away from me, being taken from me by something that wasn't me. And then you start taking a look at yourself and thinking, I fucking hate my life. Like, everyone else loves it from the outside, but I hate it. I'm not getting any intrinsic reward from this. And the truth is, I believe that happiness comes from overcoming a struggle. Okay. Well, that's where I think it comes from. I think it comes from getting yourself in a situation where you struggle and overcoming it every single day. You know, like if you get up in the morning, you don't want to take a cold, to have a cold shower because you know it's going to be freaking miserable, but you come out of afterwards and you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. I did it. You know what I mean? So there's that. It's part of a journey. And so I just took myself out of it and I said, like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be that person that people think I am. I want to be the person that I believe I am and what I want to do. And so I started my, literally just took the plunge and started my own business. Yeah. And that was it. And I would never look back. And I think the key lesson there for everyone is, you know, like have some self-awareness. It's really hard. Yeah. It's hard to accept that you're an absolute prick. It's hard to accept that you're just a dickhead and no one really likes you, because they don't really like you, because what they really like is that persona you're putting out there. It's not you, and you know it's not you. Yep. And yeah, there you go.
That's me. But hopefully, Tom, you found that doing what you want to do and living the life you want to live has probably brought in some people that do like you for you. Or maybe not.
Yeah, well, I don't. Yeah, my kids do. My kids like me. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly a positive.
And my dog.
So, yeah, okay, nice. So you held off on drinking until 35, but you didn't tell the rest of the story. And then you just went just both feet in.
So it's funny. So, like, it's the story goes way back, actually. It was, my co-founder is my best friend. I was 15, and I'd never drunk before. And do you remember Stubbies?
Sure.
Little beers, the little stubby beers, and I went to a party in this this god awful place in the UK called Gosport, which is basically like it's not nice. And I went to this party there, and I'm not an aggressive guy, and two things happen to me when I drink, George. I become both irresistible and invincible. And it's not I think that, no, I genuinely am, I become that, but people just don't seem to understand,
right?
And I decided to convince this woman that she was in love with me, but her boyfriend and his friends decided that there wasn't appropriate behavior for me to convince her. And I went through a fairly complicated legal battle for a few weeks. And so I was like, do you know what? I'm gonna just not do this anymore. Yeah, I'm just gonna give this a rest. Yeah. So literally one incident of drinking gets into a fight, almost goes, gets into that, ruins my life. Like, I'm just gonna stop. So just stop drinking. And went all the way through uni, all the way. And then, so bizarre, I was like, the reason I'm not drinking isn't because everyone would say, oh, you're so strong-willed because you don't drink. I'm like, it's the complete opposite. I'm drinking because I don't have a strong will. I'm not drinking because I can't control my personality. And I was like, fuck that. This is weakness. This isn't strength. Okay, and so I started drinking and just trying it. And now I've never been drunk. Never been drunk. Never had more than one drink. And fortunately, haven't been in any kind of arrestable situation since. But but it just showed. But it's interesting, my perspective changed. Because I was like, I don't, you know, you always say to some people, think that, like, you know, quitting something or not, you know, like, because you're not drinking, you're really powerful and you're really strong. It's not that. It's not necessarily that. It means that you know that you can't control your own inhibitions. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. All right. So you come to this place where you realize that everybody else loves your life, but you hate it. And you say, no more. I am stepping away from this, and we'll see what happens. So tell us about Steakster.
Steakster. So funny story. So have you ever tried any jiu-jitsu or anything like that?
I'm a huge fan, but I've never actually tried it.
Okay, right. I'll tell you verbatim what happened. Okay, so I worked at a previous startup and we were super successful. And I was one of the founders there. This is when I stepped away. Like, you know, we were super super successful. We're going really well, still going really well now, and wonderful people. But I stepped away. I was a little bit like, you know, I was in that moment of epiphany, but also, like, if you've ever been through it, George, like, it's a moment where, like, you feel a little bit lost, but at the same time, like, you realize your rudder's taking you in a new direction. You don't exactly know what's going on. Anyway, I'm on the mat in the gym doing some jiu-jitsu. Now, just a caveat, I'm not good at jiu-jitsu, George. I am new to the game, okay? Also, I weigh 170 pounds. I'm 5'11". I'm not a big guy, okay? This Russian guy comes in, vest on, arms out, walks over to the mat and he says, I recognize you. You'll win competition. Yep. And I had won a competition, but for Muay Thai, a completely different martial art, a completely different game entirely. And I had won. Thank you for recognizing me, Mr. Russian. I'm assuming your name is Ivan Drago. And it must be. And I was like, yeah, thanks, man. And then all the guys around me, like, knowing that I'm arrogant, were like, don't say that. And he's like, well, how about we spar sometime? Instant escalation here, George. He's gone from saying hi to me asking me to fight him in the blink of an eye. He couldn't have been more Russian if he tried. That's not racism. That's stereotyping. But like it's – so he comes in. He says that. And I was like, all right, fine. Yeah. And he goes, we're sparring now. And I'm like, all right, let's spar now. And he goes, how about we do this for some money? And I'm like, all right, now it's interesting. Now, what I will say is, so I've got investors, two investors that are Russian. And I tell them this story, George. And they're like, yeah. And what? I'm like, what, is this like a regular thing in Russia? Like, yeah, this is how we communicate. Okay, fine. That's what we do. Nice. Like, it's not what we do in London. So anyway, so... getting a bit technical, basically, we get down on the mat. He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. So I literally just pull guard. He gets on top of me in between my legs. He thinks he's got the advantage. I just wrap him up and just triangle, taps out straight away. Yep. He goes, you cheat, you use your legs. And I'm like, bro, this is how the game works.
Yeah. Sorry, Drago.
And I said, well, where's my money? Didn't have any money. So I get my phone out. I'm flicking through my phone. I'm like, there must be an app for this. And there isn't an app. And I'm like, boom, I'm going to make an app. Now, the idea to begin with, George, was, let's not mix our words here, it was fucking shit. The idea was I was going to create an app which allowed jiu-jitsu fighters to fight against each other for money.
Nice.
That's what we call niche, okay? All right, it wasn't going to work. So I'm like, you don't have any money on the mat, so let's just have an app that does it for you. That lasted, that idea, about a tube journey before I realized it was a terrible idea. But I was really excited. And I went and sat in a coffee shop. And I sat down. And I'm like, okay, there's something in this. Let me understand my feet. And it's something I say to people, startup people all the time, when I'm trying to give some coaching. I say, look, what have you been through? Like, what was the experience you had which made you want to do this? And I was like, look, for me, the second he said, let's do this for money, it became more exciting. It's, when I started doing it for something, it became more exciting. So I was like, okay. There's something in this. So I ran it. So I did an experiment. I got a bunch of my buddies in, and I had an idea. So I got a bunch of my buddies in a room over at my house. My wife lost her mind, as you can imagine. Be like, what are these guys doing here? And I get them all around. I buy these really crappy heart rate monitors off of Amazon. And I get them all around. And there's 10 of us. And I'm like, right, we're having a FIFA night. And they're like, yes, let's do this. And I put the heart rate monitors on them. I'm tracking their heart rate. And then I strategically, very scientifically, keep adding in more stuff to play for. So it starts off being, for a beer, then for a pizza, then for money. And I see their heart rate just goes up and up and up. Once you play for something, I'm like, if I can manufacture this feeling, I've got myself something here. And that's how it was born. And then I literally, the next day, I incorporated the business. And now we're the fastest growing competition platform in the world. Boom.
Boom. Straight line. Amazing. You're the fastest growing competition platform in the world. Right. So walk me through the experience. It's an app. I download it.
Yep. So you download the app, choose the game you want to play. So you might be playing FIFA or you might be playing NFL because you're in the US or Madden. So you download the game. And then what we do is we'll match you with someone. So you go through onboarding where we assess your skill level and so forth. And then we match you with someone the same skill level for the same amount of money. You both chuck in some coin and the winner takes the pot.
Amazing. That's incredible. Yeah. What was the hardest part about, I'm sure there was a million really, really hard parts, but as you look back and putting the whole thing together, what was one of the hardest parts?
Okay, really good question. So let me answer that in a different way. Everything about starting something is hard.
Yeah.
Okay, but the second hardest thing is still going. Okay, all right. So the hardest thing is getting into the gym. Yeah. The second hardest thing is just going to the gym continually. and seeing, like, you know, when you first go to the gym and you're a guy's in shape, you know, you can go for 6 months and see no gains. Yep. And you've got ripped Jack next to you with abs of steel and arms the size of your thighs. And you're like, jeez, am I ever going to get there? No, probably not. Because you don't want to. It's not why I think the reward isn't there. Yeah, life isn't, no matter what people say, life isn't better with the six pack. But it's like you go through that journey, but it's the hardest thing is to keep it up. And what makes it easier, okay? By the way, another one for the listeners here, as you see. So George is drinking a Starbucks coffee here. Okay, George, I'm going to ask you, is that what coffee is that you've got there?
I think it's just a Pike, but I don't know.
Just a straight Americano.
Just black coffee.
That's it. He's a real man. He's a real man, people. Okay, you can respect him. You can keep listening. All right. Anyone who ruins coffee with beef milk, okay, just chucks it in there and ruins this beautiful creation of nature, shouldn't be drinking coffee. No, I hate that.
Amen.
Amen. Just drink it for what it is. Anyway, yeah. And so what makes everything easier in life in general, but also in business, is two things. One, visualization of what you want to achieve. Have a very clear goal of what you want to achieve, okay? Now, that can be a million things. And mine is, I want to be the biggest skill-based competition platform on the planet. And on a as a business and as on a personal level, I want absolute financial freedom for the rest of my life. It's as simple as that. Two goals. That's all I'm working towards. Okay, and I have that goal there clearly. When I get to being the biggest platform on the planet, I'm selling the business, and then I will become financially free for the rest of my life. Simple as that. Okay? And that doesn't change. That remains the same all the time. But the second thing, and people don't talk about this enough, is if you have a great team, you will win. The best teams are just made up of the best people. So I have people around me that just don't give up. Okay? And if they do give up, they're not here now. Okay? Championship mindset. Everyone here, we all work towards the same goal. We all want financial freedom. We all want to be amazing. We all want to be the best. And if you have that, every time you have a problem, it's just a little bit easier because you know you've got the people around you to support you.
I love it. Visualize what you want to achieve. How much time do you think about that? Do you think about it every day?
Single fucking day. You just don't take your eye off the prize. You got to keep, I think, because I've done it before where I have given myself a goal at a business because I worked in sales for a long time. So I say sales, I don't think sales is a dirty word, but like the roles weren't called sales. They're called like commercial director or whatever, relationship manager, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, but I'm a sales guy. Ultimately, I get measured on how much revenue I generate for the business, whether you're a fund, or, you know, whether I was a junior fund manager or whatever. The money I generate for the business is it. So you're a sales guy. Yep. And I would give myself a goal and I would say, okay, my goal at this business is to get to this grade, then I'm out. Okay. And the truth is, when you work in a business, if anyone's listening to this, you are no more valuable the second time you hit target than the first time or the third time or the fourth time. There's no incremental value here. Okay, arguably you are more valuable the second time you hit target because you've proved that you can repeat performance. Okay, but the third time you do it, that third year, you're not worth anymore. You're not. You're just the same. So at that point, once you've hit target twice, leave. Go somewhere else. Ask for a promotion. Do something. Okay, because all you're doing is just repeating the same thing and it doesn't make you any more valuable. It's a myth. This guy's hit target 10 years in a row. Then he's a fucking idiot and he's got an easy job. Okay, all right. Get him out. Go and get another job. He will pay you more and you've got more opportunity. And I fell into that trap where I had those goals and I would hit the goals and I'd be like, okay, right, I'm going to ask for promotion in 3 months' time after I've closed this account. And I'd hit it and I'd be like, oh, maybe I'm not going to ask for it just now. Maybe I'm just going to close another deal. Idiot. I could have got promoted 3 months earlier. It's that same thing. So now I have to make it very clear what that goal is. And I think the problem is if you don't have those goals, it's okay to set new goals and redefine them, I suppose. But if you don't have clear goals and you aren't working towards something, why are you doing it? Yeah. Anyway, that's my view.
I love it. I love it. Strong and powerful Tom Ferry. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and how can they start betting on themselves through Stakester?
Okay. So you can learn more about me. I think the best place to go is follow me on LinkedIn. Yeah, I post all my content there. So I'm just at Thomas Ferry. You'll find me. I'm the only one. All the others are just hoodlums. And, it's actually a guy called Tom Ferry who looks a lot like me and is also works in a gym. And a lot of people think that I'm him. Yeah, but he's got the same problem with his hairline that I do. Maybe that's just something about the name. If you want to learn more about Stakester, go to stakester.com. And if you'd love to listen to the podcast, I'd love to have you guys come and listen. It's backyourself.show. Backyourself.show.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Tom your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas and funny and dynamic people. Follow Tom on LinkedIn under Thomas Ferry. Go to stakester.com and download the app and then check out the show. It's backyourself.show. Thanks again, Tom.
Is that right?
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together. Tom, we all... Oh, man, that's awesome.